Howdy do, buckaroos. This is the After Show with Mike and Kelly. I am your host this evening, Kelly Gamont, with my co-host slash partner in crime, currently Stuffy. We've upgraded his status. Media sensation, Mike Rose.
Hey, Kelly, how's it going?
Pretty good. How about you?
I am currently slightly stuffy, but I'm okay. I am, as we were discussing pre-show, I am down one keyboard, which drives me nuts. You know the thing where you go and you try to log into your computer and you type your password three times and it keeps telling you you're doing it wrong, and you know you're not doing it wrong, and then you're getting more and more angry and you're thinking you're losing your mind, and then, which is, it's something that's impossible to tell, by the way, because of course your password characters are obscured, but then you realize that your shift keys are not working.
No shifting.
Neither of my shift keys were working, and so I had to put that keyboard in the file cabinet, big file cabinet in the sky. But of course, I have an appropriate number of keyboards kicking around, but none of them felt right. So yeah. I brought back an Apple Extended from the office that I had brought my own Apple Extended to the office, you know, some years ago.
That's
what I wanted. And now I have replaced it with an actual office supplied keyboard, and I will use mine at home. It's a nice keyboard.
It is glorious.
It's not magic, but it's nice.
No, it need not be magic in my estimation.
It's a muggle. It's an Apple muggle extended keyboard.
The muggle extended keyboard. And you know, ain't a thing wrong with that.
And
honestly,
nothing wrong with that. But otherwise, I'm good. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was colden. Because we went to Eastern Oregon to visit my dad for Thanksgiving, and it was great, except for the fact that, everything, it was well below freezing the entire time we were there. The car thermometer, when we were on our way out of town, because we left sort of early Sunday morning, it said 9 degrees. And Mr. Kelly said, I don't think I've ever seen it say 9 degrees. So he went, I was driving. So he went to take a picture of the dashboard where it said 9 degrees. And then he got the picture and I looked over and I said, you better take another picture because now it's 8. I think the most I saw when we were there was 19 and a half degrees.
Okay. That's cold.
Oh, yeah. There are some very colorful expressions in my native land for when it's that cold. I shan't repeat them here for fear of an explicit tag, but it was really, really cold. But we got to hang out with people. We got to go see some interesting stuff. We got to go have some fun. I got some good pictures of my Lego guys at Walla Walla Lake. So, we had a good time.
Nice.
Yeah. And now it's all freaking Christmas.
It is all the Christmas time.
At least it's okay now. Like, this was the concern I was having the entire time, was like, Christmas happens. Christmas has crept up on my birthday. Like, screw Thanksgiving. It has crept up on my birthday, and that's just not okay.
Oh, but speaking of your birthday, how was the Kelly-oke? Everyone wants to know.
It was amazing. We had such a good time. The song list was epic. A friend of mine brought a friend of his who knows some songs in Japanese.
Wow.
And so we had some actual Japanese karaoke, and it was amazing. Huge shout out to Voice Box East here in Portland. Not yet a sponsor, but they were super awesome. I was in the middle of White and Nerdy when our waitress came in to see if we needed anything else. And she took the orders, and then she came back and she gave me another of what I was drinking on the house because she was so impressed that I could get all the words out for White and Nerdy, and because she knew we were there for my birthday. Yeah. So that was pretty awesome. The song list was amazing. I had such a great time, and everyone who was there had such a great time that we've decided to do this regularly. So we're just going to get a nerd karaoke meetup together on the regular here in Portland, and it's going to be awesome. And at some point we will figure out the latency issue, and we will be able to invite you even if you aren't here.
Well, it's good. There's a way to do it. So for those of you who don't know, Kelly and I worked for close to an hour trying to get our ability to do a simultaneous transcontinental karaoke song. We tried Smule Sing, which actually you can't do simultaneous. We tried various video conferencing technologies, which all, of course, observe this crazy thing called the speed of light and have some latency in them.
Oh, it was so the worst.
So for karaoke, it appears that there's really no substitute for being in the same room at the same time. But we will, yes. We are going to work on it. We're going to try and figure out a way.
And if you have a solution.
Yes, listeners, if you have a solution.
We are to be super excited to hear about it.
To be able to do karaoke with someone who's in a different part of the country. I mean, the one thing we could, that I sort of thought might work, is if there were a third device or a third computer or something.
Basically
else.
A third computer with its own Skype account so that we could have three people on the call or two right. people and that computer on the call and have that play and both of us react at the same time.
Yes. So we would both be listening to the same remote track.
Yeah.
And, you know, just have to let the latency chips fall where they may. But we did not have that. There really ought to be
that
a
was
way.
Our first that was the idea we had at the end of the time that we had and then could not test. So
but as a result of that I went ahead and recorded a solo.
It was amazing.
I'm so glad you enjoyed
oh my God, I enjoyed it so much. Seriously.
Did you play it at karaoke or was it just a preamble?
Well, Gene and I checked it out ahead of time. So it was super fun. And then I also got Star Wars cupcakes, chocolate
wow.
Star Wars cupcakes. They were cupcakes that had a little plastic thing on top that said Star Wars and had a sticker with a bunch of different characters on it. And when you took it out of the frosting, it was a ring. So you could wear it when you were done eating your cupcake.
That is so off awesome. The hook.
That
That's
was
crazy.
Gene. That was Gene. It was amazing. I was so excited. Because not only did I get chocolate cupcakes, I got chocolate cupcakes with Star Wars on them, and the Star Wars was something that I got to wear later. So good.
See, here's the thing. If you're going to have a friend plan your birthday party, that friend should be Gene McDonald.
Absolutely.
It just should be. It's just the way it should be.
Yeah.
So, but there are plenty of reasons for celebration coming up, and there are plenty of opportunities for the giving of gifts.
Yes.
So we're going to do our... Second annual? First intentional annual?
I think so.
We're doing our gift guide, peoples.
Yes, it's the gift guide.
It's the gift guide. So we're going to talk about a few things that we think would make awesome gifts.
Yes.
And then we are going to turn it over to you, the listeners.
Yeah. For sure.
To understand what you think would be the best holiday gift. So let's start with Kelly.
Okay.
For a recommendation for something that you think people would like to get as a gift.
I'm going to start with something retro that is initially a kiddie gift, but work with me on this. So my first recommendation is Shrinky Dinks.
Whoa.
I know. They're back. You can buy actual Shrinky Dinks, and you can also buy sheets of Shrinky Dink material that you can create your own whatever you want. There are a number of places that make similar stuff, so you can find other things that are Shrinky Dink style that aren't necessarily Shrinky Dinks. There's one of the Klutz series of like crafty things, you know, with a K. They have like a harmonica thing and some other stuff, you know, for the complete Klutz. And they have a craft kit that has some Shrinky Dink stuff in it. Like you can make things that are charms for bracelets and some jewelry and different things. And then there's some other ones that like you color in figures and bake those. And then here's the thing is that Shrinky Dinks have been around long enough that a lot of people who really enjoyed them as kids now have kids. And so this is something that you can like pass along. Like this was a thing that was really awesome when I was a kid. And like, let's be honest, even with no attention span, that 8 minutes or whatever in the oven, like that thing is moving the whole time. You can totally watch it. So even if you have a bunch of iPhone connected children, like it doesn't matter because this is still a really cool thing to watch.
That's pretty slick. I mean, I have not tried Shrinky Drinks. Wow. I've had a few Shrinky Drinks.
Shrinky Drinks. I think they were not Shrinky or you would be able to talk.
I've had a few regular sized drinks and then a couple of Shrinky ones. I've not had much experience with Shrinky Dinks
mm-hmm.
since we made keychains, it feels like, it was a while ago. And the thing about it is like you have to make a hole that's the size of a dime.
Oh, that's right. Because then it shrinks.
In the sheet, because then it shrinks down. I mean, you can. The printer, the shrinky dink printer paper was the thing we used. And it's amazing. We went through a lot of specialty inkjet paper. Yeah. We went through a phase. So we had t-shirt paper. We had magnet paper.
That's amazing.
We had window decal paper. I'll get to the magnet paper. So we had window decal paper, and we had shrinky dink paper. And the shrinky dink paper was fascinating. I mean, it really intensified the colors, and it made mm-hmm. great keychains. What we used the magnet paper for was in combination with one of my absolute favorite Mac apps of all time, Comic Life
from Plask. Comic Life.
We would use it to do custom magnets of the kids' birthday parties.
Oh, that's amazing.
So you get pictures of all the kids who are at the party, or you get a group picture, you put on some like pow, bam,
piff
graphics, and you caption it, and you print out those magnets, and then you give every kid a magnet as a goodie bag gift.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it's like, and I mean, even now, even 2+ decades into the digital photography era,
mm-hmm.
People are still astonished when they get something personalized that is of an event that just happened.
Yeah. And lots of people still have inkjet printers. So keep in mind that this is a thing that you can do. This is also, I mean, to extend that, this, you know, any kind of specialty paper you can feed to the inkjet printer is a gift possibility.
That's right. And you can do that. I mean, you can do photo gifts of all kinds. And actually, Lisa Snyder just posted a blog post about photo gifts. Photo gifts. I am really...
You and your shrinky drinks, dude.
My shrinky drinks.
Your non-shrinky drinks.
And my photo gifts. The animated photo gifts. They're like the little movies that play in your email. So... Anywho, we got no cards and letters, by the way, about the Donald Trump impression in the last show. So
I'm not sure why, either it was really good or really bad. Let's just leave it there.
People, that may have been people's when people were in reverse backing out of the driveway that hit, so they it was covered up by the beeping.
Yeah,
but I will follow up a tweet with that to make sure that everyone catches the Donald Trump impression from the previous show. It's at about the 13-minute mark, and it's great to hear Kelly just completely fall apart. But yeah, photo gifts are great. Photo gifts are one of those things that never really go out of style. I mean, they never really were in style to begin with, but they never really go. They're awesome.
For the right person, they're totally the right thing. Like, for example, last year... I do not have an inkjet printer. So if you're one of those people who's like, yeah, what about me? Well, let me tell you what about you. I don't own an inkjet printer. And I have a niece who has a child. And my mother-in-law is of course, absolutely over the moon for the kid. He just turned 2. And so what I did last year was every once in a while, because they live in another place, because they're so far away, like, we get a lot of pictures. So I took some of the pictures that my niece had sent to, you know, the family, and I, you know, marked them as favorites. So they were their own set of photos in my photo roll. And I went down to Target, and they had a little cable, a place where I could plug in a cable for my phone. And I always have a cable because Swiss Army wife. And I plugged in my phone to the Kodak machine, literally walked through the process. I think they also have, like, you can connect via Wi-Fi. Like, you connect to the special Wi-Fi of that photo unit at Target. And then you pick the photos that you want, and you say, I want 5x7s of all of these. And then you're like, you know, which orientation, whatever. And depending on when you do it, they will come up immediately. It'll tell you, like, come back at 6 o'clock or whatever. But if there's a person behind the photo in the photo section where you can talk to them, you can ask them, like, it says 6 o'clock, but really? And like one time, I just went through Target. I had a couple things to get. I went through Target and checked out and came back over, and they were ready. And so I was able to take them all home with me in one trip, took those. And, what I did was, I got the right sizes for them because some of them weren't the best orientation, and I cut them up and put them in a little desk photo frame so that my mother-in-law could take them to work with her. And she has this little two-sided frame, photo frame, that has a bunch of pictures of her family in it. And it didn't take me very long. It was not a bunch of work. And it was not a bunch of money. I think it's 25 cents a print for the photos. And, you know, and I did not buy the world's most expensive photo frame for them. But because I had invested the time and thought about it and went, this is a good picture, this is a good picture, this is a good picture, and then printed them all out, you know, that was the part that she really liked. So that would be something that I would suggest, is lots of places have this sort of photo kiosk where you can do this. Like, I take mine to Target because it's the closest one to me. But a lot of like one-stop grocery stores have it, like a Super Target or Super Walmart. Regular Walmarts, yep, have them. Walgreens has them.
Walgreens and Duane Reade here in the, yeah, the New York area, we all have them. And they're, yeah, I mean, you can actually order those through your app or through, you don't even need the cable. You can order them directly online or through your browser, through your app, and show up and pick them up. And it's great.
Yeah.
And you need not even wait.
I know. And they're so great to be able to put those kind of things together. And, you know, and if you do something like that with like a cookbook, you know, if you have recipes from your family, like if you just go, you know, casually ask, like, you know, what, you know, do you have the recipe for that pie you make every Christmas or those cookies or whatever? You can put all that stuff together and, you know, throw together a cookbook. And the nice thing about that is, like, if you're not in cahoots with somebody in a remote location where you have family that would really be into this, then what you can do is, like, just schedule like an email to go to that person that has the PDF downloadable in it. You know, if you aren't able to print something out and mail it off to them, you can at least send them a copy of the file and do something like that. So there's so much you can do now with just your phone and a basic service. And like, there's still nothing like handing someone a hard copy of that photo, whether it's on a magnet of a birthday party or whether it's a kid who covered himself in Christmas lights. It doesn't matter. they're all really easy. And
although don't actually hand people a kid covered in Christmas lights, because that's awkward. But the picture
he covered himself in Christmas, yeah, lights, and it made for a good photo. And so when my niece sent it in, I was like, well, that's probably the Christmas card this year, so I better print that one out. So I made sure to save it. And it's a very easy thing to do. That's the thing to me that was really nice about it, is I was sort of concerned it was going to end up being a terrible experience, and it totally wasn't.
Yeah, we've used that for posters, and I've used it for... Actually, what I found that's really interesting is if you use Google Photos, and Google Photos will occasionally do little creative things with some of your photos. It'll do HDR, or it'll do, you know, sort of artistic borders. And I found that it had done some fantastic stuff with some of the photos I'd uploaded. And I just, on a whim, you know, printed out a poster of one of those photos and brought it home. And people were like, that is fantastic. It's just gorgeous. So they'll do it on cardstock. They'll do it on, you know, to poster board, self-adhesive posters, which are great and very convenient if you're, you know, want to holiday up the joint a little bit. Mm-hmm. But photo gifts. So beyond photo gifts, I have a book recommendation, a couple other things I want, a couple book recommendations.
So let me just jump in really quick, because I found this and I want to make sure that we point this out. So if you have an iPhone 4 or an iPad 3, that's a 5-megapixel camera. That camera at print quality, which is 300 pixels per inch, 300 PPI, you can get an 8.5 by 6.5 photo.
Fair enough.
So 6 by 8 if you have an iPhone 4. Now, if you're using anything after that, a 4S, a 5, a 5, anything that starts with a 5 or anything that starts with a 6, you can get a print quality photo at 10 by 8. It's 10.8 inches by 8.1 inches. So 10 by 8 is good enough. And that's a print quality. Now, if you want better quality, like it looks pretty good, which is 200 PPI, you can get, and I'm rounding down, you can get 16 by 12 out of the newer phones. An iPad 3 or an iPhone 4 will give you a 9 by 13 image at 200 PPI. So if you do want to print out a larger thing, like, oh, I wish I could print this bigger and you know, put it in a frame for the family because it's that picture from that barbecue this summer, you can.
Just go for it.
Yeah.
I mean, the nice thing about I'm talking about the Walgreens online app, which is also the same one that Duane Reade uses, and it's built on top of HP's original engine, but doesn't really matter. It will tell you. It'll basically tell you, look, this photo is not, you're trying to print it too large for optimal resolution. If you don't care, you just blow past it. Nobody's going to bother you. If you have a relatively recent device or a relatively recent camera, you can print lovely, large enlargements. I think, in fact, you will be pleasantly surprised at how good these look.
And an 8x10 picture is kind of a big picture. So
yeah,
think about
it's substantial.
That.
Yeah. I think the one I got of the Google photo I did was, you know, like 20 by 24 or something like that. It was huge.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, even at the unlimited size of uploading Google Photos, they're still 16 meg. They're huge.
Yeah.
They will print that size with no trouble at all. No trouble at all. Anywho. We'll include a photo resolution, device resolution to size of thing you could print out matrix in the show notes, which is a good thing.
Yes, we will.
But here's the thing that I would like to recommend in the time that we have.
Yes, I totally want to hear it.
I am a huge fan of the books of, what is his name? Hold on. This is embarrassing. I'm telling you.
If it's J.R.R. Tolkien, I'm going to laugh at you so hard.
It's not J.R.R. Tolkien. That would be. It's the guy. No, it's John Ronson.
Oh, okay.
But the problem is, of course, I was going to say Ron Johnson, which would have been very. That would have been problematic.
A little bit, yeah.
So John Ronson, who is a he's a great author. He wrote The Men Who Stare at Goats.
Yeah, okay,
He wrote them. So his latest book is called So You've Been Publicly Shamed. It is amazing.
Oh, yeah. Really?
It's really quite good. I have not yet been able to put it down, and I bought it today. So,
wow.
It's
now,
fascinating.
He did a TED Talk about this.
Yes.
Okay.
He did. And he's written several other books. Mm-hmm. And they're all good. This is the latest one, and it's fascinating. And it actually made me think about some experiences that I had in our mutual tech blogging D-list internet celebrity days, where in particular, one situation where a reader had called for one of our colleagues, Chris Rawson, to be fired. And he'd called for him to be fired on Twitter, and he'd called for him to be fired in an email to the blog, and he'd called for him to be fired in a comment.
Yeah.
And I screenshotted the guy's comment, and I basically posted it to my Twitter account and asked for people's take on it.
Yeah.
Whether they thought he was right or not. And somewhat predictably, you know, there was a small gang of people who were screaming at him on Twitter.
Yeah.
And he responded basically saying, "Now you're bullying me."
Yeah.
Now you've called out the dogs. And there was part of me that said, well, but you publicly called for someone to be fired, and
you said this, we're just letting other people know you said it. Yeah.
You said it, and I'm sharing it possibly wider than you intended it to be shared, but you did say it publicly and you said it repeatedly. And now when I am citing it, you are upset. But the other part of me felt like, well, yeah, maybe I am being a little bit of a bully, or using the larger stick that I have in this exchange, mm-hmm. because I think you're being a jackass, and I wanted to punish you. But you know, am I being mean in return to you being mean? Probably I am.
A little bit, yeah.
So it's interesting to be reading this book. I'm not done with it yet, but it's interesting to be reading this book and see. I mean, the horrible, horrible stories and horrible experiences that people have had. This includes the PyCon. Sort of catastrophe.
There's no sort of. That was a catastrophe.
It was catastrophe all around. It just did not end well for anybody involved. The woman who tweeted when she was getting on a plane to go to South Africa, and her life fell apart. So, fascinating book. Not a cheery book by any means, but a very funny book and a very enjoyable book. So I recommend all of John Ronson's books.
Okay.
The other book that is completely different, utterly and completely different from John Ronson's book, it is a book called Lego Star Wars: Small Scenes from a Big Galaxy.
Yes.
And this is astonishing. This is a Finnish photographer.
It's amazing.
Who has recreated classic movie moments and new takes, hilarious new takes on fan favorite characters with Lego minifigs. And the pictures are just amazing.
Yeah. They're so good.
So, this is, if you are a Lego fan or a Star Wars fan, you should check this out because the book is amazing. It's like a coffee table. It's a coffee table Lego Star Wars book, which, you know, the whole Lego...
It is high time.
The whole Lego X thing, the whole Lego other brand thing, I will admit, there's a part of my brain that constantly says, this is weird. This is a weird that there is a that there is an identity of this story or of this universe or of this this mythology outside of what it is of itself that is entirely exists in Lego.
Oh, sure.
And I should just get over myself because the Lego stuff is cool. It's cool. So.
Yes, it totally is. And I will point out that, first of all, this is amazing. the pictures are great. And this is one of those things that you really probably want, like, don't go check the box on Amazon for give me this on a Kindle edition. Just no. Just spring for the hardcover. Like, I looked it up this moment. Like, when we started the show, I looked it up because we were trying to track down the name of the book. And it's $13.74 right now on Amazon. So you can probably get it for a pretty reasonable price for whoever it is in your life that totally needs one. My problem is practically everybody I know needs this book. So I need like 10, and I just don't know if I can do that to my mailman. I'm going to have to spread them out. So I will also recommend an entertaining book. Mine actually, I'm going to recommend two series to people. There's one called the Bloom County Collection, the Bloom County Library, and it is every single strip. It's 5 volumes because there were a lot of them. They are beautiful hardcover books, and I got them all for Christmas, I think, 2 years ago. And I don't remember because the minute I got them, I read them and read them and read them and read them until I was done reading them, and then I was very sad, and then I remembered I could read them again, and so I did. Because I absolutely loved Bloom County. And when you read them now, they hold up, which is sort of sad, but very entertaining. The second series I'm going to recommend is along the same lines as the Star Wars coffee table book. And I want to make sure that I get the titles right. And I believe, yes, it is the Walt Disney Animation Studios Archive series. And these are beautiful books. I only have 3. I have layout and background, design and animation. And you would think that a book called Layout and Background would be not very interesting. It is fascinating. There are a number of these that are these Walt Disney Animation Studios archives. They are so good. And I want to, let's see if I can find all of them. Animation Studios, the archive series. And there's one called Story. There's one called Design. And they are amazing books. And you really get a chance to sort of dig in and see what this stuff was like. And it covers a wide range at the Disney studio. So if you are anywhere near the Disney nerd, I am, I'm sorry. And you should really check these out.
May God be with you, my son.
Yes, pretty much. So like you can't even imagine my house when they were like, Disney bought Star Wars. Like I didn't even know what to do with myself. So anyway, these are really amazing books. They talk about the 9 old men. If you're somebody who knows who those people are, they were 9 of the people who worked at the studio. Basically, it was their first job and it was their only job like throughout their life. They were people who were there, you know, 40 years, 50 years, who passed down all this knowledge because they were people who had done so much to advance the art of animation. And it's so amazing to look at these and read these and check them out. And I highly recommend them, particularly if you're somebody who's into this or if you know somebody, you know, who really likes to draw and is really interested in, you know, someday I would like to work in animation. Like any of these, the story, the book about story is amazing. The books about animation and design. And like I said, you would think layout and background would be like the driest book. And it's so interesting because a lot of the stuff these guys were doing had never been done. And so they had to figure it out. And the process of that and what came out of it and sort of the things that you can take away from it if you are an animator. Like, here's the tragedy is that as much as I adore animation and as much fandom as I have for all this stuff, like, I can barely draw a stick figure without having to label it. So...
And these are the arms.
Basically, yeah, you kind of like, no, really? No, that's okay. You know, like, yeah, my best picture ever is, you know, cow eating grass because it ate all the grass and left. So that's the whole picture. So like, I highly recommend these books as a series. So, yeah. And you can always hit me up on Twitter. I'm Verso on Twitter. I have some comic recommendations, but those tend to be a bit more specific. So if you're looking for an interesting graphic novel or a comic title that maybe you want to use to introduce somebody, let me know because we can definitely talk about that.
And I will just close out with one more recommendation, which it's an inexpensive gift. It's something you could check out, which is a Google Cardboard viewer.
Yeah.
Fascinating technology. If you don't get motion sick, it basically takes your smartphone. It doesn't have to be a Google smartphone. It could be an Apple smartphone, and turns it into a virtual reality viewer. So you can get them from a bunch of manufacturers. I have one that I got from a company called, it's right here. It's called 8-1s. It's on the Amazon, and it's the 2.0 spec. So it's the one that actually will work with the iPhone 6 Plus.
Oh, and nice.
Works pretty well. The New York Times has some virtual reality stuff. The cardboard app itself on iOS has some interesting stuff. So it takes a little while to get used to, but again,
sure.
for someone who wants something a little unusual and
yeah.
fun, it's definitely worth checking out. Likewise, something I saw on the Wirecutter, which is the iTeleporter. Unfortunately, out of stock at the moment, but it is essentially a periscope.
Which one?
The iTeleporter.
Oh.
So it's a periscopic mask. It attaches to your face, and there's a mirror in front of your face, and then there's a big tube, and there's a mirror someplace else. So you're wearing it, but basically it gives you the point of view of someone 3 feet taller, or if your eyes were sort of out to the side or on your hip. Very odd gift, out of stock at the moment, but something certainly that would be interesting for people to try out.
Yeah.
Any last things on your list? We'll probably do this again before the holidays are out, but anything top of mind, Kelly, before
we
close this one?
So I'm going to just stick to this being sort of non-super tech. You know, we've got some minor tech things, but mostly not tech. So I'm going to pick my Tom Bin backpack.
Woohoo!
Because I adore it. And it is a wonderful bag. Here's what I can tell you about it. I survived the Worldwide Developers Conference this year in California for a week bearing this bag. It's beautiful in airports. It is. It has this really nice system where you get a laptop sleeve. And you clip the laptop sleeve to these two straps that run down the back of the bag. And then you can slide the sleeve out of the top of your bag and lay it on the conveyor belt with your other stuff. And you don't really have to take your laptop out. You just sort of lay it out in its own way. You'll have to look at the Tom Bin website in order to tell what I'm talking about. But it's very, very cool. And what I have is the Synapse. I have the Synapse 19. It holds a 13-inch laptop beautifully. And it's like, first of all, everything Tom Bin makes is amazing. And it's made in Seattle. So if you're in the Seattle area, or you're going to be in the Seattle area, they do occasionally open up the workshop and do tours and things. So you can go there and like lay hands on stuff, which is huge, particularly when you're bag shopping, if you're me, because that's really important to me to know what I'm getting. And they have tons of pictures on their site, which is really, really great. They come in a bunch of colors. You have a lot of options as far as what sort of color combinations you can get. and which is also something that I really like. You can add a sternum strap. The straps on these are wide enough to be comfortable, but not ginormous. They are padded, but not ridiculously so. You can add a sternum strap if you want to. They're great bags. They're super durable. Mine, for example, has been out in the rain and flawless, and all of them work super, super well. So the Synapse I have is the 19, and it's $170. So a little more expensive, but
has a sternum strap, so that's important.
Yes.
Well, the Tonbin bags are awesome. I have been holding off on getting myself a Ristretto, first because there weren't any available, and secondly because I wanted to not spend that money. I actually had a weird experience though with my substitute Ristretto, which is the name of my Tiny Tim cover band.
I wondered which one we were going to pick.
I didn't know where I was going to go with it. My substitute Ristretto, which is the STM vertical laptop bag.
Yeah, it's a nice bag.
So oddly enough, this weekend, at one point, my wife says to my daughter, who has a small canvas map case that I had given her, in which she holds her her Samsung Chromebook. And my wife said to her, "Do you have your laptop in there?" And she's like, "Yeah." I was like, "Yeah, she fits her laptop in there." And it's a little vertical bag. You wouldn't think there was a laptop in there, but indeed there is.
Yeah.
And then I was getting ready to leave, and she looks at me with my STM bag. She says, "You have your laptop in there?" I was like, "Yeah." She's like, "How come everyone in this family is carrying their laptops around in tiny little bags and I'm not aware of it?" I was like, "Well, I don't know what to tell you.
Don't know why you're not aware, but it has to do with having tiny little laptops.
We have tiny little laptops and they go in little bags. They're so adorable. They're so cute."
And that's the best part, is that because of the size, like, there are a lot of bags that you can use that aren't like, "Hi, I'm a laptop bag. Knock me over and take me away."
That word balloon, by the way, a poor seller, should never have been put on the market. All right. Well, those are our quick gift guide ideas. We will be back before the end of the holiday season with more suggestions, including perhaps the Tile or other tracky kind of devices. So we'll do another show in a couple of weeks with our more techie focused gifts, more geeky stuff.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, thank you guys for listening. Keep circulating the tapes. And this has been the After Show, recorded the week of November 30th, the very end of the month, going on toward December 1st, 2015. We'll talk to you soon.